Morning.
Morning.
First song today will be 545. 545.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows such a thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When cold in his brightness, transformed and I rise to meet of his Father the child. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hides my soul with the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Before the prayer, we'll sing number 614. 614. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And he died for us. And he died for us.
how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me.
We've been there 10,000 years.
We've been there 10,000 years.
Bright shining as the sun.
Bright shining as the sun.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
And He will lift you up.
And He will lift you up.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us another day, for giving us another day, Heavenly Father, another day of life, Heavenly Father. We thank you for rising us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, allowing us to marvel at thy great creation, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together, congregate with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to partake unto another uplifting worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. And we just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings, Heavenly Father, so numerous that we will never be able to count them all, Heavenly Father. We just pray that each and every day, Heavenly Father, that we will continue to show our appreciation to you for all thy love that you shower us with each and every day, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we will continue to follow thy word, Heavenly Father, to turn to the scriptures, Heavenly Father, for we see so many examples throughout this life, Heavenly Father. We see so many examples in this world, Heavenly Father, when people turn from thy word, Heavenly Father, the consequences that we face, the conflict. You see so much hate in this world, Heavenly Father, so much division. And we know, Heavenly Father, that if we did that which we can read in the good book, Heavenly Father, that we can read in the Bible, that this world would be such a better place for each and every one of us to live in, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we don't get caught up in all the distractions, Heavenly Father, so many distractions out there that we can turn to solve our problems, Heavenly Father. And we know that the best way, Heavenly Father, is to come to you in this avenue of prayer, to bring our problems to you, Heavenly Father, for you know you can solve anything that we may face in this life, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with our brother Hank, as he brings us a lesson that he has prepared for us this morning. Pray that we will give to him our undivided attention, that we will be able to take what we learned today and that we can apply to our lives, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be all with all those that were mentioned sick, that they will be able to receive the care and that they need, that they can be returned to their much wanted health, Heavenly Father. Pray that you continue to watch over the Freeman family at this time, Heavenly Father, during this time of grieving. We know that you will be by their side, that you will comfort them during this most difficult time, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation. They tend to the needs of this building, to the needs of this congregation, as they continue to make sure that our worship service is according to thy will, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to watch over each and every one of us as we begin this new week, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to watch over us, that you know, help us to set that Christian example, Heavenly Father, and also those that may not be Christians at this time, Heavenly Father, that they will take the steps necessary to becoming a Christian, Heavenly Father, so they can enjoy the gift of salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will watch over us, that you will keep us safe. These things we pray for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 296. 296.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love an old cross where the dearest and best for a world
I'll share with you. Christ Jesus came to earth and he died the most excruciating death by crucifixion. The Bible reads in John 15:13, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These two emblems that we have before us brings to our memory his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood. At this time, let us bow and give thanks for the bread. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful and so humble that we have this first day of the week where we all can come together and to remember our great Savior. To remember, Father, that while we all was sinners, he died for each and every one of us. And we want to thank you, Father, for the privilege and honor that we have to partake of this bread. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together on the Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, Heavenly Father, to be able to share this with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to share in that remembrance to thy Son, Jesus, to remember the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, Heavenly Father, the suffering that he endured, Heavenly Father, the giving his life, for he loved this world so much, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was missed upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this particular time, we have another commandment, another honorary duty as a Christian. That is to be prepared to give back to God the first fruits of our labor on the first Sunday of each and every month. At this time, we have the honor and the privilege to do so. Let us give thanks. Father, we are grateful and thankful for all of the ways and means that you provide for each and every precious soul, all of the abilities and the talents that each human being possessed. And Father, we thank you that you merciful God. You've always taken care of us and provided for all our needs. We are so grateful and thankful to give back and sharing and supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Psalm of invitation this morning would be 888 would be the Psalm of invitation this morning. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 2. We'll stand and sing number 2.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, silent moon and stars on high. Let him praise the Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory. From the earth, oh, praise Jesus.
I'll be reading this morning from 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. I would encourage you to grab a Bible that's in front of you and join along with me, please, as we read this. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It's 1 John 4, verses 20 through 21. And it reads, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother." Now we'll have our lesson by Brother Hank Davis.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, church. It is truly a blessing, to be able to stand and rise before you, rise up out of our beds this morning, clothed in our right mind, to have the ability, to have the freedom to be able to assemble in the house of the Lord this morning, to be able to fellowship, to be able to worship and praise his holy name, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Is always good. Always good to see each and every one of you. You know, Psalms 118 and 24 says it best. It says, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of our visitors that we are value you as our honored guests. And that we thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. We pray that you so far found our service to be with the Lord to be both edifying and uplifting to you. And we ask that at the end of the service that you don't rush off and give us an opportunity to meet you. It is always truly an honor and it's truly a privilege to be able to stand before you and bring forth the Lord's words. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5 and 14, "Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus." And I want to let you know this morning that God loves you God loves you. I want you to know that He is real. God is real. He's alive. And that as I stand before you, I tell you this morning that I believe in His Son, the one they call Jesus, because He lives. And without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible according to His purpose. And I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to wish all the mothers and all the grandmothers and all the great-grandmothers and God bless the great-great-grandmothers a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. You know, in Exodus 20 and 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, for their days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. You know, Mother's Day has always been special. You know, we hurry up and make things, make provisions for Mother's Day. You know, we'll take Mom out for a nice dinner. And I think I said this once before, that when I was a kid growing up, you knew it was Mother's Day because everybody would have on a carnation. If your mother was still here, they had on a red carnation. And if your mother had gone on, you wore a white carnation. But it was always remembrance of Mother's Day. And as a kid, you know, I'm thinking about that is so sweet. That is so good. And I have to tell this one again. I said, I wonder what they do for Father's Day. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, what do? They put on ball caps or something to represent? I didn't know as a kid. I just wondered. But I always thought that was really sweet that, you know, Mom gets taken so special. And, you know, you're going to go out to dinner and we're going to do all these special days. And fathers, we know what happens on our day, right? It's time to break out the grill. You know, if we're going to eat, we got to feed ourselves. Somebody, you know, but I don't know. But in my opinion, there's no greater honor and or responsibility in life than to be a mother. It really, now, no knock on fat, don't dads, okay? There's not a knock on dad. One compliment to one is not a criticism to another. Believe me, because I'm a father. So I'm just saying that we know that we all appreciate and we all honor and value a great father above, right? But we all serve that. But a mom, a mother that is especially one led by God, guiding, nurturing, and teaching her children to become positive role models and true ambassadors of Christ is truly, truly special. You see, mothers can be an influence to their children, good and bad. See, we have to understand that moms are human too, and that moms have to go through things, and then they're trying to nurture their children, especially in the world we live in today, right? To try to keep them on that right path. So we're not perfect beings. So we have to understand that, especially when we get older, when we look at our moms, if we're blessed to still have them here, that mother probably did the best that they did with what they had and what they knew. So past life perceptions, you know, we had to all come from some place, right, to get to this place. So experience is always a great teacher. Proverbs 23 and 22 reads, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You know, I am blessed. My sister and I are blessed to still have our mother here after 87 years of life. I know there's some here that has exceeded that, and you know, God bless you as well. But to still be here, and if you're still blessed to have your mother here, don't take that for granted. You know, you have to make sure that every day that you have an opportunity to be with her. You know, show her that love. Even when your days will be long here for it, do those things. The Bible clearly takes the responsibility of mother very, very seriously. I had Brother Jason remind me last night in the text, in Isaiah 66:13, it read, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. This is God talking to the children of Jerusalem. As a mother comforts a child. So we got to let you know how much God values the comfort of a mother. Proverbs 31 and 28 reads, that her children arise and call her blessed. mothers share a unique and crucial role in the lives of their children. An author once wrote that motherhood is not a chore or an unpleasant task. Just as mothers bear a child during pregnancy and feeds and cares for a child during infancy, so mothers also play an ongoing role in the lives of their children, whether they are adolescents, whether they are teenagers, young adults, or even adults with their own children. The role of motherhood must change and develop. The love, care, nurturing, and encouragement a mother gives will never cease. And in Proverbs 22:6, it reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So that message of leading by example, especially in the loving example that is left by Christ. After all, as children of God, you know, we all serve one. We all have different mothers, but we all serve one divine Father. In 1 John 3, it says that, "Think how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that he let us be called his children, on which we truly are." So moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, and great-great-grandmoms, I pray that you are shown great appreciation by your families today and beyond today, and that you continue to boldly wear the title of mother with honor. However, on this Mother's Day, I want to remind each and every one of you that we have a Father in heaven that loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. So as children of God, we are in essence each other's siblings. And as Scripture tells us, that as children of God, we are to love one another as Christ loved us. John 13:34 says, "We are to share a like-mindedness of love, of truth, of patience, of kindness, of fellowship, of family." In other words, we are a family. We are God's family. And I just got to throw a little footnote in here, okay, because I heard some mumblings when we looked at the scripture up here. We are very aware that it was 20 and 21. There is no verse 22 in 1 John in that scripture. We understand that. I told Gilbert, I said, when I text you the message that I was going to do, I said, I looked at my notes. It was right. I said, but I got fat fingers sometimes, okay? So understand that we know what the Bible says and what's there and what's not there. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But I want to talk a little bit about this family, okay? Because in families, not all families are perfect, right? Not all families, everything is always smooth. You know, I'm going to date myself. I'm going to let you folks know that the Brady Bunch was a myth, all right? The Cosby Show was a myth. We do have some issues, and sometimes it don't happen. We do have sometimes turmoil between siblings, between younger and older brothers and sisters. If you don't think that's the truth, ask my sister. She's sitting back there. She'll tell you. You know, so as siblings in Christ, you know, we go to church every week. We go to church every week as brothers and sisters. We call each other brothers and sisters. But sometimes there's people who will sit right next to each other and won't even say hello. Now, I'm sure that doesn't happen here, but there are some that it happens with, right? They go to church every week and you don't even see people speak. You don't have to be chummy with everybody. You know, we don't have to do that, but we're all family. It's not going to kill you to say hello. You know, you don't have that doesn't have to be your last breath to say hello to somebody. You know, the Bible speaks of greeting each other with a holy kiss. Now it does say that. The New Testament refers to a holy kiss in Romans 6:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, and 1 Thessalonians 5:26. So that's a pretty good reference there. And in each, the idea is to display what? A kindred spirit of purity, of love for one another. Not just a physical attraction or a public display of affection, But we understand that, you know, we are to, the Bible is telling us to greet each other this way, to already show this affection. Now, we understand that this was also a cultural, biblical tradition, you know, so that we know that. That whether or not the holy kiss should be a tradition that we carry on today is not clear. But whether or not our salutations to our brothers and sisters in Christ include a holy kiss, the important thing is to know that our greetings spring from real love and real relationship, to be characterized by sincerity and represent true Christian fellowship. See, what they're saying is you're supposed to, when you see each other, when you go outside of the walls of this building, but when you go anywhere, anywhere out there, that you greet each other as brother or as sister. Now, the holy kiss, especially what we've gone through over the course of the last couple of years, might be a little bit sketchy. You know, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat that. You know, here in this building, we still kind of fist bump. You know, so we got to kind of like, you know, adapt to our environment, if you will. But yet and still, the bottom line is we are to look at each other as family. Okay, I know that I've seen some of my own family members I may not have seen in years. And if I see them somewhere, it's like, hey, cuz, hey, this, hey, that, whatever they are to you. But you always bring that. But you can see somebody in your church, you know, at Kroger or somewhere, I don't feel like talking to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. I'm going down this aisle. I'm not, who am I talking to out there? Okay, y'all don't hear me. I'm telling the truth. This is what we have to do. The holy kiss was intended to let people know that we have an affection towards each other that is real. And that is important. Now, I just started out talking about mothers, right? And mothers always taught us to be kind to one another, right? Especially them siblings. You know, my mom would be like, if me and my sister had a conflict, or I thought my sister did something, both of us were going to get a whooping. Why? Because there was not going to be any divisiveness. So you better stay out of trouble because I'm not getting in trouble for you. So that's right. So unfortunately, conflict and petty issues sometimes never get resolved. Sometimes we hold on to stuff so long until, unfortunately, it's too late. And either that individual is gone from our lives for one reason or another, and they're gone for good. And then we're left with this feeling on that last final day of, if only I had called. If only I hadn't been so stubborn. If only I had just forgiven, spent more time, had more time, on and on and on. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now on this day that we have too much in this world, there's too much grudge holding and not enough hand holding. And see, we got to get away from that. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, cut out all the dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time. Help others by what you say. Help others by what you say. We don't have time to be bitter. We don't have time to be angry. We don't have time to be mad at each other. Don't yell at each other or curse at each other or even be rude. Instead, be kind. Be merciful. Forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. That's what we have to start doing. See, we got to understand that our walk on this earth isn't always about us. It isn't always about what we think or what we feel, If we was always right, we didn't need God. I'm going to always say that, but that's not the case. We need God and we need each other. So when we speak of family, we immediately go to our standard definition of a group of two or more people that's related by birth and living together, you know, either by marriage or adoption. But all such related persons are considered members of the family, who you live with or who you dwell with. At its surface, yes, family can be related, can be, you know, a relationship of blood relatives. However, a more in-depth definition means an association or a society or community of people linked to what? A common interest. Common interest can be included in groups that you know, they call each other brothers and sisters, like fraternities. You know, that's my fraternity brother and my fraternity sisters. Unions. You know, we're brothers and sisters in the unions and clubs and leagues, as well as in kinship and with blood. But as Christians, we share in a spiritual family of Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 20 through 28 reads, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile." We just talked about that this morning in Sunday school. "Neither slave nor free, nor either is there male or female, for you all are one." All are one in Christ Jesus. If there in any family, or I will say, there should be a code of duty, a code of honor, a code of loyalty, a code of protection, and many others. See, we need to, like we're talking about taking care of our old parents when they get older. We're also supposed to do that with each other, protecting each other's, you know, protecting your little brother or protecting your little sister or protecting your cousins or those sort of things, all right? And in the body of Christ, we stand by the greatest code of all, and that code is unconditional love. Unconditional love, as God loved us unconditionally, you know, based upon, you know, we might do something wrong, we may sin, but he's going to love us anyway. He's going to love us anyway. John 13, 34 through 35 says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are what? My disciples, if you love one another." And in Hebrews 13 and 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." See, and by honoring this code of unconditional brotherly love to one another, we uphold its standard of ethics that we should follow all the days of our lives here on earth. These ethics are clearly defined in the scriptures. There's things that we should be doing anyway. It'll make us better people if we do these things, if we exhibit patience, if we exhibit kindness, if we're unenviable, modest, humble, if we don't dishonor others, if we're not self-seeking, if we're not easily angered, if we keep no records of wrongs, if we do not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth, and always protect, trust, hope, and persevere. This is what love is. It's very, very, very different than what the world wants to show us. The world shows us what? Vengefulness, selfishness, jealousy, vanity, and others. Scripture tells us quite clearly, don't conform to this world. Do be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that when you are able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, Romans 12 and 2. And I'm going to give you an example of this thing. When we look over in the Old Testament in the first book of Samuel, we can read about what many call one of the greatest friendships described in the Bible, and clearly an awesome illustration of family, and also illustration of brotherhood when we look at David, who was going to be the future king of Israel, and Jonathan, the eldest son of the king Saul. Scripture tells us that Jonathan and David made a covenant because Jonathan loved David as his own soul, as his own soul. So he took him on as to be his own brother. Jonathan protected David from his father, King Saul, who wanted to kill David because he knew David was going to take the throne, wanted to take the throne. Jonathan was not envious or jealous of David, even though he knew that David wanted to be king, would be king. Jonathan was to be the second in command in David's future reign, and David was to protect Jonathan's family. You can read this more and further in 1 Samuel 20, 16 through 17, and verse 42, and verse 23, 16 through 18. Jonathan and David had in common their strong faith in God and their deep love for the Lord. There is a clear application of ethics of family. It's protection, it's honor, it's unenviable trust, and others. That's what it's all about. And as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we need to show that with each other, an unconditional love. That regardless of things that we might, you might think of somebody, I love you anyway. I love you in spite of that. And I wanted to make it very clear. I'm not talking about like. I'm talking about love. Because there's a very stark difference between like and love. See, some might say, I like dessert. Okay? But I love chocolate cake. That's the difference. I might say, I like football. But I love Michigan football. Okay? Go Blue. My point is being this, is that you can, when you like something, you can basically take it or leave it. Right? But when you can appreciate things for its like qualities. But if those things ever change, you can move on from it. You can move on from it without much of an investment, right? Let me give you some characteristics of like. All right? You can, like is more emotional, it's more physical, it's more non-committal. See, there's no commitment in like. You know, it's like, eh, you know, it was there for a minute and now it's gone. All right? Relationships dissolve. Relationships dissolve because the like has changed. All right? We've gone our separate ways. Why? Well, we couldn't see eye to eye because the like have changed. Don't get it twisted. Don't somebody say, well, I love. No, the like has changed. However, love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. Love takes over your entire being. You can love someone, but you can despise their ways. Okay? Did you hear what I said? You can love someone, but you ain't got to like the way they are sometimes. Love never fails. You love anyway. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. For a time of adversity. You cannot just cut somebody off when you love them. There are things you need to do. Now, I didn't suggest that you just got to be up in somebody's face who's trying to hurt you. I didn't say that. But God gives us specific instructions on what we are supposed to do with those family members that we have a tough time with. Scripture tells us love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. We're family. We're to look out for each other like family. Encourage each other like family. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Talk to each other like family, even in correction. A person's wisdom yields patience, but it's one's glory to overlook an offense. That's in Proverbs 19:11. Respect each other like family. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And here's what you do. If you can't talk to somebody, see something eye to eye, by all means, pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for each other like family. Pray without ceasing. An effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We are to understand that while we may come from different eras, we may come from different lifestyles in some cases, different skill sets, and I mean skill sets. We've got people in this audience right now that could be athletes, artists, caregivers, electricians, gardeners, handymen, mechanics, organizers, preachers, teachers, singers, and many other skills. But that doesn't mean anything. Scripture tells us that a body is made up of many parts, and each of them have its own use. That's how it is with us, that there are many of us, but we are each part of the body of Christ as well as part of each other. So this is God's family. This is God's family that shares one body. We share one blood, and that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Of one accord, of one mind. We are family. You know, on this Mother's Day, it needs to be reminded, understood that we're all family. that those that nurturing that our mothers gave us throughout our lives, that when we got old, we wouldn't depart from it. We are now at that point where we need to make sure that we are exhibiting that same love that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ showed to us when he died on that cross for our sins. We're part of a family that's been born again. Part of a family who loves no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. When a brother meets sorrow, with all feel his grief, we'll all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we'll all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through his precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again, just inside that city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting. With Jesus, we'll be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. So that's my sermon this morning, folks. So if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for remission of sin. Whoever shall believe it and is baptized shall be saved. With your part, if you so choose, understand it. You've heard his word. Believe his word. Repent of your sins. Confess faith that Jesus is Lord. Be baptized and come up out of that water to walk in the newness of life. And God adds you to his church. That's Acts 2:47. Not by a vote of man or decision of man. God alone adds you to his church. If you're already a Christian and you stayed away for whatever reason, remember that we're family. We're family. You're part of this family. And the Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate your return. If you are in need of prayer, prayer works. Oh, prayer works. Try it. I'm telling you, prayer works. And so may God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you stand and come forward and have a seat on the first pew. Together again, we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you all.
Are you fully trusting in his grace, his God? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless by the white and snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, in the blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless like white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with it, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let the fountain flowing for the soul
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?